Lord Jesus, we do thank you, Lord, for your great goodness to us. Lord, you're so faithful to answer prayer. And we're assembled here, Lord, to honor your name and none other. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of the cross that washes away our sins. We thank you, Lord, that by your stripes we were healed. We praise you for dying for sinners and your mighty resurrection from the dead. And Lord, we know you are in control of every aspect of this world in which we live. You are the one. Lord, we praise you, Lord, for each person here. We pray you'll bless their families. Lord, bring them all into the ark of safety. Forgive us our many sins, Lord, as we freely forgive those who sin against us. And grant, Lord, that we may be true Christians. Take from us, Lord, all that is false, all that is false. We want to be lovers of the truth. We want to buy the truth and sell it not. So through your Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to us today. We carefully give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. And let's turn to Psalms 91. We'll just read that together. Here we go. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I usually teach from the New American Standard, although we always read from the King James. But I think this morning that I'll just continue in the King James, because I believe we're going to need this psalm in the days to come, and it's helpful to have as much of it in our memory as possible. So to reinforce what you do have of the 91st psalm in your memory, we'll just continue in the King James. I think perhaps Psalms 34 and 37 and 91 in particular were written for the time of tribulation, the great worldwide time of tribulation, which is coming. Very, very climactic and significant hour in which to serve the Lord. And we are going to have to stand in the Word of God in that hour. The Word of God will not change. Not now, not in the great tribulation, not when the Lord comes, not throughout the millennium or forever. heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Praise the Lord. So the promises of God are sure. One thing that doesn't change. He that dwelleth, not a case of getting in and out, but dwelling. Our Christian life, with all the stimuli we have hitting us these days, is apt to make us hear too many voices. Too many voices. And that, coupled with the fact that many don't have enough time for prayer, makes us susceptible to going to leaving the secret place. Thank you. Dwelleth. Dwelleth. That takes a lot of prayer and a lot of common sense, a lot of Bible reading and gathering with the saints, or we can't dwell there. We can just dip in once in a while. In the secret place. Another translation says shelter. The idea is a place, a hiding place, or place of shelter. Abideth in the place of shelter. It's the perfect center of God's will. The perfect center of God's will. How do we find God's will? That's right. Romans 12:1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is difficult to find God's will. It is not easy. It takes a lot of seeking. It takes time. It takes the decision that we must seek the kingdom first rather than our daily needs. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. And when we make up our mind to seek first the kingdom, that's a long way toward God's will. When we're willing to take up our cross and follow Jesus, that's a long way toward finding God's will. When we decide that we're going to exercise patience and that we do not have to have things now, we do not have to have our desires gratified now, but that Christianity is, in fact, basically another world religion. It is basically a religion which points us toward treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven, not in treasures upon the earth. We've lost sight of that in the 20th century. Christianity is fundamentally an other world religion. It tells us about a kingdom that is coming, and it says for us to hate our life in this world and to give all diligence to enter the kingdom to come. And that, if we get that, we can find the will of God. But if we fault on any of those, if we're conformed to the world, if we have to have things now, if we're going to have to have all this pleasure in this life, we'll never find God's will. We will be deceived. By that I mean we will believe we're in the will of Jesus Christ, but will not be in it because we have run contrary to the premises of the Bible and the commandments of the Bible. The secret place of the Most High, not of the Bible. Sometimes people today are getting the Bible confused with Jesus Christ. I know they're both the Word, but they're not the same thing. Jesus is a person, and the Bible is a book. And we're not dwelling in the promises of God. We're dwelling in the Most High, and we need to know the difference, because there come a time in your life when you get battered down and you won't be able to even hope anymore, let alone trust, yet have faith. But there is one thing that you can count on, and that's when all your religion is gone out of your mind and heart, and you feel it's all lost, you can still holler, "Help!" And someone will hear you and save you in spite of the fact you couldn't make the Bible work. Someday we'll meet Jesus. He's not a black Morocco-covered book with legs. He's a person. We abide under the shadow In the secret place of the Most High shall abide. Abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. Most important commandment in the Bible. Abide in Christ. Abide in Him. Takes a whole lifetime of diligence to do that. The shadow of the Almighty. That is to say, wherever we are, God is there. We are under His protection. We are never out from under His strict surveillance. We are there. God knows every detail, every word, every thought, every emergency, every care, every burden, everything that we're concerned about, God knows. It's under His shadow, providing we are abiding in Christ. Abide in me. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. It's not easy. It takes much diligence, much fleeing from the things that are competing today for our allegiance and our attention and our worries and our fears and our loyalties and our dreads and our doubts. It takes prayer and consecration. It takes making up our mind that we are going to seek first the kingdom, that Jesus is first from the moment we wake up in the morning. It's not the news, it's not the television, it's not anything else. It's Jesus, it's prayer, it's consecration, it's a recognition that we, that day is unto the Lord. It's a day that God has made specially to work out things in our life, and He comes first in everything. And that takes a willingness to let go a lot of things that could take our time. Just let them go. Drop them. You don't need to do all that much. Let it go. You don't need to carry all your hobbies around. Let it go. It takes time, quietness, meditating, given to God. And of course, things will clamor for your attention when you try to give time to God. It's a fight, because it takes time to abide, to be diligent in the quietness. Give God a chance to speak. Get our soul quiet before God. That's what it takes to abide under the shadow. You can't just claim the promise without the condition. I will say of the Lord, it's so important what we say to God. And I'm not a believer in metaphysical speech whatsoever. I don't know why. But there is a place for the words. It says, by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. And so we went through the siege of this. I think Satan attacked the whole church about 3 months ago with negativism. And people were saying things that I know they didn't even believe in their heart. Like, God doesn't love me anymore and all this other stuff, which is a lie in the first place, because God says He does. Huh? God isn't amused when we speak contrarily to His word. He's not amused with that. It isn't coy and it isn't right. And so even though we don't feel like it particularly, or see it or understand it, we say of the Lord and to the Lord. Another translation says, He is my refuge. He is my refuge and my fortress, because we're in a war. This is a psalm about trust more than faith. It's a psalm about trust. He is my fortress, place of defense, my refuge. Now, we've had a wave come over the nation in the last 5 years or so. We referred to it, I think it was last Sunday, may have been the Sunday before, of people seeking refuges in our day. Now, those who follow the politics and all this, they can tell us why. We go to the Spirit, and the Spirit says judgment is coming. We go to history, and we see what happened to nations that are living as the United States is living, and we see there, and all the signs in the indexes tell us trouble is coming. That's what the Spirit says. As far as I can tell, judgment. There's a sword hanging over the land because of our sin. We have violence like the days of Noah. Murder is common. We're glazed. We can't even see what's going on. The land is becoming filled with violence and crime, underworld. And so we start thinking of a refuge. If tribulation is coming, if war is coming, we better start getting a barrel full of dried prunes, you know. With our dehydrated foods, we better get a big hill between us and ground zero on the naval installations. We better get where the hippies in San Francisco, when the famine comes, where they can't get at us. We better get a refuge. You know something? There's a refuge. There's only one refuge. There's only one. There's only one, brother, sister. You know, you can buy your acre in the Northwest Territories and go up there and your family die of pneumonia. Or you can flee into Mexico and get bitten by a scorpion. See? You can move back to some eastern state and be on the fault line of an earthquake. That's right. Human instinct, animal instinct, is to seek protection. The man particularly, I think, has this because he wants to protect his wife and children. Let me tell you something. You can't find it on this earth. We went through some halcyon scenes on our little vacation. We were up there in some place. It was either Montana or Iowa, and I thought, oh boy, these states just feel good. They just feel good. You look out, and what do we hear on the local news? Some woman, young college woman, was dismembered and found up in sands her head, I guess, some little podunk town. You can't get away from it. You can't get away from it. But there is a place where you can go. There is a guarantee from God's word. He is my refuge. He, not geography, not that I'm going to lay up food. We talked about Jeremiah and how the people dragged him down to Egypt because there's food there. And he says, don't go, don't go, don't go. I'm going to send Nebuchadnezzar down here. Don't go. Oh yes, we're going to go. And they went and Nebuchadnezzar came. And if they had stayed in a less logical place of safety, they would have survived because that's the place that God gave them. Now, when we cut and run, we're just behaving from animal instinct and we might as well face it. It's just nothing more nor less than just an animal desire for survival. And it's understandable, and I wouldn't condemn any soul for wanting to protect his family. But let me tell you, judgment is going to strike the world, and you can't flee from danger like that unless God tells you. Unless God tells you, not your logic, your carnal mind, your instinct for preservation, but if God tells you to move, then move. But if he doesn't, say of the Lord. Because if God were to preserve you alone of everyone in the city, it wouldn't be the first time that this has happened. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. And that only is true when you're dwelling in the center of his will. God doesn't want you at two different places on the earth at the same time. He wants you somewhere. Doing something, not just anything. The sinners can do anything, but the saved, their steps are ordered of the Lord. And God has a perfect will for you. And if you look to that will, God will show you what to do and where to go. And you'll have over you an invincible covering. That's what the Bible teaches. Praise the Lord. That's right. If you run, you'll run right into the path of trouble. That's right. You'll run right into the path of trouble. Where are you going to be safe? From intercontinental ballistic missiles? Or cancer? Or leukemia? Or stepping on a rusty nail? Where are you going to be safe from that? Just the time you get your little ranch somewhere, you put up your barbed wire, it'll scratch you and you'll die of tetanus. That's right. There's no safety in numbers or in location. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. Praise the Lord. I know you know that, but I have to yell every once in a while. Now it says, my God. Not things, not money, not nice things or circumstances. God. God. The Lord is my God. I seek the kingdom. Now it says, in him will I trust. Now, this is a psalm of trust. I wrote a little note to myself here. The difference between faith, we hear an awful lot about faith, which often is just unsanctified human beings seeking power. It's natural and normal for people to seek power, and so the Christian doctrines of faith appeal to the ambitious person. That's all it is. It's just a desire for power, apart from image, union, and fruitfulness, to manipulate if we can learn how to make the thing zing. But it's Antichrist. It's not God. It's just a desire for power. We spoke some time ago of the conditions of power. The conditions of dominion very often are Joseph-like in nature, or like Daniel, or like Mordecai, other people who are suddenly elevated. There's conditions of power. God isn't interested in turning us loose with power. Where does it say that in the New Testament? So faith is associated with power. But trust is something else. And I said, faith is associated with accomplishment. Trust and victory. Trust is associated with survival and confidence. Trust is setting our love upon God like a father. Faith is part of God's nature. See, when God, it's the faith of God, that's the real stuff. The rest is our striving to believe or even to delve into the metaphysical and soulish realms, which are taboo. They're forbidden. They're not right. But we try to believe. But what we need is the faith of God. Now, the faith of God enables us to feel what God wants to bring from the spiritual into the material. And if we provide a channel for that through faith, then accomplishment, things are accomplished, victories are won. People are healed, demons are cast out, because that which is true in the spiritual has been brought into the material through our faith. Faith is a link with divinity through which that which is true in the spiritual can be wrought in the natural. But trust is our setting our love upon God. It's not accomplishment-oriented, it's survival-oriented. And the 91st Psalm is about survival. I think many of God's people get excited about faith, but what's going to be required in the days to come is trust. You know, it's all right when you've got plenty of food and you're healthy and you're in a free land and everything to try to launch out in all kinds of skirmishes by faith. That's fine, whether we know God's will or not. But you know, when you're in prison in a communist territory, then there's something else. Then it's a question of, what happened to me? Where is God? How come the Bible isn't working? And then it shifts from faith into trust. Is God really my Father? Does he love me? Will he take care of me? You see the difference? Faith is more of an attack. Trust is a defense. It's the ability of the human being to suffer all kinds of things, perplexities, doubts, fears, and dreads which he cannot understand, and yet trust that God means good in all of this. That all things are working together for good. That's trust. There's a real difference between trust and faith. And it's good to know how to both fight and defend yourself in warfare. And the days may come, the night cometh in which no man can work. And what will be left then is trust. 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 Just the ability to believe that God loves you and that he'll take care of you and that when the bombs start falling, should they fall where you are, you won't run like an animal south of the border or north of the border or in your houseboat or whatever trick you've got up your sleeve. Because there's people who are going to need you. They're going to need you in that day. The judgment that's coming always are the greatest times of opportunity. And if you are content on saving your own skin, your mind will be filled with food and where do I go and how do I take care of my children. But if you trust in God and believe that you're in God's will and can point God to His Word, Lord, this is what you said, then here's a rock in the midst of the flood that's not concerned about fleeing from death, but is concerned about, well, Lord, I've always served you and I'm not quitting now. What do you want done right now? And your mind, instead of filled with panic and flight and plan A and plan B, you begin to see the people around you who have nothing. They have not God, they have not food, and they may be going to be dead in the next minute. You and they may be walking hand in hand up the spiritual slopes of Zion in 1 minute. And that's no time for you to be pushing the panic button and running like an animal, forgetting all you ever heard about God. You sure won't be exercising faith, but it is a time for trust. God, you said, no evil shall come nigh thy dwelling. God said that. The same God that said, God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That same God said, there shall no plague come nigh thy dwelling. He didn't say unless there's a war. And people will see you and they'll say, what do we do? And you'll say, well, let's pray and ask God what to do. Trust is going to be necessary, saints, in the days to come, if we're going to save ourselves and those who hear us. Is that right? Sure. Sure. It's in the Bible. Can't be wrong. In Him will I trust. In God. Not just in making the promises and working the moves, but in God Himself, even when we don't understand and can't work the promises and forgot what it says. You can get that scared, you know. That's right. You can't find middle C on a piano. That's true. You can get that frightened. But there's always God after the formula's run out. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. We don't realize it because we live in a land of illusory security. You're not secure, and I hope you don't find out the hard way, as so many have in the last year in this area and in every other area. It is illusory. And right now, while you're sitting here all nice, there's a trap being laid for you. There's a trap being laid for you. Did you know that? The fowler never quits. He has a trap for you. And if you don't want to end up with your feet over your head, you have to pray. Lead us not into temptation. And when we choose to seek God's will, He keeps us away from the traps that are set for us. The devil is mean. He's not a gentleman. He doesn't play fair. And he'll get you if he can. Just remember that. Christianity would be altogether different if we had no enemy. But we have a personal, vicious enemy. And souls are at stake right in this room. We're not safe until we draw our latest breath. That's right. He seeks whom he may devour. He shall deliver thee from the noisome pestilence, from the deadly pestilence. And we all live, I guess, that have children in fear of various childhood diseases, and people get older. And lady call up yesterday from North Carolina, her husband, only 51 years old, heart problems, heart conditions. People, wives worry, what do I do without my husband? Various afflictions, fears, dreads fill our land. Cancer, we wait for the biopsy. Our land is filled with that. The amount of heart failure in the United States is a number you can't believe. I think the doctor told me there was 90 or 100,000 valve transplants a year in the United States. 100,000 valve transplants in the United States. You can't imagine the knives constantly going as the results of faulty diet are rectified with a knife, and the family's waiting. Is dad going to live? Is dad going to die? We live in the valley of the shadow of death. And we trust God. He gives us peace. He gives us peace. You know, you're all right when nothing goes wrong, but then when something goes wrong, it's a different story. Then we get a new insight into God. But whether we know the biopsy or we don't, or it comes back positive or negative, it really doesn't matter if we have Jesus. You can't scare us with heaven. We've got to get our minds off of our animal survival. I will trust. And when our time comes to go, we'll go in glory. Praise the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. We don't have to fear the fear of man. It says, sanctify the Lord. Let Him be your fear. He shall deliver thee from the deadly pestilence. That's the promise of God if we dwell in Him. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings, I think the picture here is of an eagle. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And the reason why the things come into Pentecost that do, and Pentecost seems to be so prone to these madcap things, and the reason is because we're experience-oriented and not word-oriented. And sometimes the Baptists put us to shame because they don't have all the feelings that go with it, so they trust in the Word. I know I was influenced strongly by the Navigators when I first was saved, and they didn't know, or at least didn't preach about speaking in tongues. But one thing they did say was, learn the Word, learn the Word, learn the Word, learn the Word. And when we know it, remember this book come out on the angels. Boy, I went down the line with all the rest, advocated in the church about this angels unaware, till I had a chance over in Iceland to be alone and thinking, and that some of the things that were said in there came back to me. And I thought, that's contrary to the Bible. That's contrary to the Bible. Can't be right. Cannot be right. Nothing can be right if it's contrary to the Bible. And the reason we get into this stuff and the prosperity and God wants us to be rich and all this, when the New Testament thunders about this, is because we choose to believe the good feelings rather than what God has said. They that would be rich fall into a snare and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. And no one, unless they're sick, wants to be pierced through with many sorrows. And yet we say, yes, but. Yes, but. Yes, but. Well, you know. He said, His truth shall be thy shield. Another place says, faith is our shield. And here it says, His truth shall be thy shield and buckler, which is a smaller shield. God's truth. And when these things come at us and our mind, instantly the Spirit says, it starts quoting Scripture. You know, here comes the bombs and we're standing here. And then the verse comes to us, panic and run when you see the bombs. No, that's not in the Bible. It says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed but abideth forever. See, we feed on the Word and it nourishes us, and it's a shield in it that day. Thou shalt not be afraid. You know, a lot of times the fear is worse than the actual thing. You know that? The fear of death is worse than death. The fear of a disease is worse than the disease. We die 1,000 times in our fears, most of which never comes to pass, and some that do are easier to bear than the fear of them. The nation spends billions each year on anxiety because we're basically a fearful people. We're afraid to death that something will get in and disturb our little nest. And so we pop the pills, hoping to get a little peace. It says, thou shalt not be afraid. Fear and faith can't dwell in your mind at the same time. Fear, thou shalt not be afraid, for the terror by night, and that's it, 2:30 in the morning when your defenses are down, is when Satan strikes. When you're weak, you wake up and either drink or take a Somanex or trust the Lord. Got to know the Lord in these days. The terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. And the arrow that flies by day is what? War. War. This is a psalm for war, for people facing war. I shall not be afraid. We're not afraid of war. I'd be more afraid that the nation continues like it is. You're more apt to get hurt. I believe it. The underworld, the crime in our nation is appalling. It is appalling. It is unbelievable. And God isn't going to put up with this. He's not going to let this go on like this. And we're not going to wring our hands and say, oh, how awful. We say, God, how long, how long, how long, how long? And we weep over the land. And we don't get at ease in Zion. We say, God, remember the people who were murdered today in our country. Remember the abortions. Remember the filth. Remember the violation of children. God, remember that. What would happen today if 100,000 people cried all day to God in the United States and said, Lord, don't let the murder continue. Don't let the faith continue. Don't let it continue, oh God. Enough people cry like that and God will do something. I'd be more afraid that it would continue than I am of war. It's true. I'm not afraid to die. You're not either when you think about it. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Devil always works in the darkness. That which we can't see. That which we fear. That which we can't lay our hand upon. Walks in darkness. That which we do not understand. Paul says, fightings without fears within. Perplexity. 2 Corinthians 4th chapter. Perplexity. Perplexed. Perplexed. It's normal for the Christian to be perplexed. There's trouble that comes in darkness. Nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. Oh, it makes you think of an atom bomb. Noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. What a vision this is. What a vision. Imagine 1,000 people falling at your side. Could you? What would you do if 1,000 people fell at your side? What would you do? 1,000 people. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee, that is, it shall not approach you. Now we're going to need to know this in the days to come, and we see all these things happening. God has promised it will not come near you if you are dwelling where God said, and it can come and make a face at you. It can come and threaten you and point the sword at you, but there is a wall there if you're in the secret place of the Most High. There's an invisible wall. What is that wall? What is it? The angel of the Lord. There's no other force more powerful than the angel of the Lord. It shall not come near you. It shall not approach you. You'll see it. It says, only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Maybe we would rather be where we can't see it. I don't know. What is the advantage of having the righteous see the reward of the wicked? Why not just put them where they can't see it? Huh? Why have them see it? Why doesn't it say you'll never see when it happens to the wicked? Why does it say only with your eyes shall you see the reward of the wicked? Why does it say that? Yes. Yes, it has to do with God's way of deliverance. What is God's way of deliverance? Yeah. Huh? Yes, trust is the key. The Lord's way, and we see this through the Bible, is not to remove the saints from trouble. But to do what? Deliver them in the midst of it by a miracle, and sometimes it is a cliffhanger. How many know that God loves last-minute entrances? When you're halfway between the 60th floor and the cement on the sidewalk, God comes, ta-da! What are you worried about, you know? And the boat's about sunk, and the water's in, you know, and you can't see either shore, and it's night, and the water's about 30 feet deep, and the Lord gets up and rubs his eyes and says, "Why did you fear, O ye little faith?" He just loves these last minute entrances. Maybe you're in a condition today where you figure, boy, this is my last day on earth for sure. At least in the situation in which I am now, so I'll make the most of it. Well, we would love it if God would not expose us to disaster. But that's not his way, and that's what he says in John 17. "I pray not that you should take them out of the world." But what? "That you should keep them." And that word "keep" is the same word in Revelation 3:10. It's used twice in Revelation 3:10. "If you keep, because you have kept," the same word, "the word of my patience, I will keep you from the hour of temptation." It means to place under intense surveillance. I do not ask you to take them out of the world. See, that's not what I'm about, is to make them separate little spoil somethings that don't know anything. I'm going to leave them right there in the midst of it. They're going to go into the fiery furnace. They're going to go into the waters, but the furnace can't kindle on them, and the waters cannot overflow them. That is God's way. That's God's way. It's not to get us to the place where we never see destruction, but to teach us of the nature of life and of things as it is, so that we'll know that God makes a difference when we trust him, and that he does not forget. It enforces his word. It shows his great power. And it also gives us an appreciation for life and God and people. We're not little sugary something or other floating around in a cloud. We're real people with real problems. And there were three crosses on Golgotha. Three, not one. Three. Three. God was crucified. The saved was crucified. The sinner was crucified. Everyone is crucified. "In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome it." And that's proven every time. God does the impossible. And he does. He does not fail. "He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." He knows. And when we're rescued in the midst of disaster, we know that God's word is true. And we see other people and we have compassion and we're concerned. But God gives us a true sense of life and people and God. Whereas if he carried us up somewhere to live in some silly situation and we never saw anything, we'd be as bad after the resurrection as we were before. We still wouldn't know that God delivers. Your eyes see. You see it. But it can't approach you. "Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, thy dwelling place." Not in and out. Not up and down. Not, you know, living for God in church and then going out and gambling and stealing and smoking and drinking and cheating and swearing and fighting and all the rest, but abiding in God. And that takes time to learn. "There shall no evil befall thee." There was a man in the Old Testament that asked God that nothing bad would ever, never happen to him. And the Bible says God answered his prayer. So I'm not saying this morning to pray for trouble. I'm not saying that, or to be a gullible or foolish, because many times we suffer because we're not praying like we should. We're just passive and say, "Oh, well, it's God's will for me to be a failure." No, it's not God's will for you to be a failure. Jesus said, "All things are possible." Never allow the scripture, "All things work together for good to them that love God," to become an excuse for a spirit of inevitability, which is wrong, or a spirit of passivity, which is wrong. Many times, things are wrong in our life merely because we haven't addressed them with enough vigor. Not because it's God's will. Praise the Lord. You've got to be on your toes to discern what is God's will and what isn't. Because many times we suffer things that weren't necessary at all, but the devil reasoned with us. For example, a person has affliction and says, "I'm being afflicted like Paul." so I have a thorn in the flesh to keep me humble. See, he reasons like that so he can use your body. You don't have to be kept humble with your affliction. You haven't been caught up and heard unspeakable words, and you're not the Apostle Paul. So try that spirit. And don't be so quick to buy things. Maybe God has something better for you. So keep a good spirit of hope and don't quit. Praise the Lord. He says, thou shalt no evil befall thee. So the things that come to you that are truly of God are for your betterment. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. God's word. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Every one of your ways, in the church, out of the church, in the morning, at night, everything you do, your job, your thinking, every aspect of your life, the angels have your name, and God has said, take care of them. And he's a king. He's a king. He can give those kinds of orders. That person there, they're dwelling with me. They're living with me. Take care of them. I don't want to hear any excuses. Just take care of them. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And you know, many a time you've been delivered by angels and didn't even know it. Many a time in your car, many a time, and you just were not aware of it because they didn't come around in white and everything and show you what happened. But they did. A lot of times you're driving down the freeway and you had, and your tire was about to blow out and you didn't know it, but it wasn't even touching the road. That's right. That's the truth. And angels will become more manifest in the last days. In the midst of war and everything, don't worry. You'll have so many angels around appearing to you and everything else and telling you what to do. It'd be like Peter. You won't know whether you're asleep or awake. All right. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Now, this is more along in the line of faith. And trust and faith are related. When we keep our trust strong, then we're always ready for that chain of faith to come down from God in the worst situation, and we realize, I'm not victimized by this thing. The devil isn't winning. I will tread and stride with great boldness in this situation. I will walk on the water. I am not afraid of hell or the devil. I will walk on this. That's faith. Because ordinarily they could hurt you. Just like Paul, when that viper fastened on his hand, he didn't pray and call upon God. He shook it off into the fire. God wants us to be artless about this thing. There are no formulas. Do the thing that seems right and natural before God. Imagine Paul if he said, well, what have I got to do? I've got to call the elders of the church. He was a prisoner in the first place. And there was no way he was going to call the elders of the church. Well, they got to lay hands on me. Well, there's no one to lay hands on him. Well, what'll I do? Shake it off into the fire. So that was the right thing to do. Caused a great revival on that island for several months. Just doing what comes naturally. Because he has set his love upon me. See, that's not in your back in your faith. That's trust. That's setting our love upon God. Just our love upon God. Like the three Hebrew children said, we don't know whether he's going to deliver us or not. We just know we're not going to serve you. So he set his love upon me. Just set his love. There comes a time to just set our love upon God, especially after we've prayed every prayer we know, listened to every cassette we own, read every book we own, worked all the moves and none worked, then just set your love on God. Just say, well, if I can't have it my way, I might as well go God's way. And just set your love on God and believe that he is your Father. You don't have to know every formula to make it work. Therefore will I deliver him, just for this simple reason, not because he had faith or because he worked the moves. I will set him on high, because he has known my name, high enough to deliver us. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. That's what Jesus said. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. This is a foundation of prayer here. I will answer him. God answers our prayers when we're abiding in the secret place. I will be with him in trouble. Any in trouble today? Christ is with you. Sometimes we're in trouble and it doesn't seem like Christ is with us. You know? Oh, wouldn't that be something if just when we got in trouble, the Lord left? Huh? I will be with him in trouble. He's there. There's some lessons to be learned, and you're in a fight, so don't worry. He's not going to drop you. I will deliver him and honor him. There are times when we have to suffer shame for the gospel. There are times when we have to lose. We can't, you know, we have to give our well if others want it. We just give up our well. There's times when we just appear to be a loser and everything. But if we stay with God, God says, I will honor him. I will honor him. Remember in Revelation, I will cause them that say they are Jews and are not to come and worship. It says that again in Isaiah. They shall worship at your feet. I will honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All promises to us if we abide. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning, dear Savior. Lord, we know the 91st Psalm is true. And I pray now, Lord, that for each one of us, Lord, I feel that we're going to need this psalm in the days to come. And Lord, I pray that you will seal it into our spirits. Cause us to know, cause us to know this day that God will not fail, that God hears us, and that we do not have to worry about which country to run to or anything, Lord, but we need to get our eyes upon Jesus and find out where you want us to be and what you want us to do. Jesus, seal in our hearts this trust, Lord, that we'll know that you care for us more than a mother for her children, Lord. You really do care what happens to us. Praise your name. While every head is bowed, there's some here that are like to be included in the closing prayer that you just have a lot of trouble and what you'd like is peace in the midst of your trouble. Are there any others? I see that hand. I see those hands. I see those hands. There's several have the need. I felt that praying in my office. I didn't mean to get on this subject. I feel there may be many. So let's just agree with me in prayer now. Lord, you see these hands. Lord, we all know what it's like to have wake up in the morning with gloom and dread on our mind. And so, Lord, you said this poor man cried, and the Lord heard and delivered him from all his fears. So, Lord, we just come against the spirit of fear and dread this morning. We come against these little foxes that would rob our joy. And Lord, we know the waves are on every side. We know it seems insurmountable. We see the walls closing in on us, Lord. We see those things, some of us, this morning. So right now we pray, Lord, that there will be a lifting of the dread and of the fear right now in the name of Jesus. There'll be a lifting from these souls, Lord, of this fear in the name of Jesus. And this dread, Lord, and this that would challenge trust in the love of our Father. Right now we come against these spirits of worry and anxiety and pessimism and darkness that sees only gloom and dread. Hallelujah. Father, we lift up our hearts that we may not run, Lord, from trouble. We know it will only follow us, Lord. We want to stand where we are until you give us the victory, Lord, and tell us what to do clearly, Lord. Lord, let there come a spirit of trust upon us, Lord, an absolute knowledge that it will be as you have written in your word, Lord. There shall no plague come nigh our dwelling, no evil shall come our way. You are our refuge and our fortress. We call to mind, Lord, this morning in your presence, these who raise their hands, Lord. Be unto them a mighty refuge, a mighty fortress. Cause little signs to come up that they know, Lord, that you are with them in trouble. And bring a soon release, Lord, when every lesson has been learned. And for those, Lord, that are in trouble for no reason, we pray there'll be a lifting of that and a removal of it, that they might know that there's a God in Israel that delivers. Hallelujah. Out of every affliction, every affliction, every affliction, every affliction. Hallelujah. You are our refuge, O God. You are our very present help in trouble. You are our peace, Lord. You are our dread and our fear, Lord. We don't fear what man can do unto us. You are our food in the day of famine, our drink in the desert. You are he who keeps the fire from kindling upon us. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. In thy name, we will tread upon the dragon. We will tread upon him. We will walk on him. We will walk upon the adder. We will shake off the viper into the fire. Because we're married to you, Lord. We're married to you. We're married to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your peace this morning and assurance. Peace be still, Lord. Say it to the storm of each life, we pray. Peace be still. We thank you for trust this morning, loosing from all fear, nervousness, anxiety. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining. Shall we stand? Nothing as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Hallelujah, hallelujah.